All right, let's go.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry Grapevine Podcast. We were voted biggest and best by Apple Podcasts last year.
I like that.
We're closing in on 3.5 million downloads, so things are really moving along. And it's hard to believe it's holiday season. And Cindy, just in time, we're doing our biannual Coach's Closet.
That's right.
Let's hear about it. Okay.
Well, it started, I thought we started on Remembrance Day, November the 11th, okay? Because I thought that was
I'll never forget that day.
That's right. So I thought it was pretty apropos that we started on that day. Yeah. And if you go to the Coop, C-O-O-P-I-N-K.
Say that again.
Coopinc.ca, or just Coach's Closet, you'll get to it. And it's an online auction, and we got a lot of, we got about 25 items up for sale.
Holy smokes.
Five, of course, is your infamous jackets and shirts and cufflinks.
I think, there's two, though, I think that are really cool, that are real collector's items. And the first one is your Windsor Spitfire jacket that you wore in junior.
I must have given you that a long time ago.
I've had that for so long, and I thought, this is so cool. It's reversible.
It's reversible, too.
It's reversible. Is... Anyway, that's a big deal.
Oh, I remember it. I remember that jacket.
So tell us a story. Like, on all of the objects, items, I tell a little story. And I told the story of you with the Barry Flyers and going to Windsor about your infamous half M's story.
Well, I remember I was a goal judge.
A goal judge. You weren't playing.
I played. I was pretty good. I played about 13, 14 minutes. I don't know. A game. And I played. And I remember I was a goal judge. I said, imagine I've come down to be a goal judge.
Wasn't this your first time away from home?
Yeah.
You're 16 years old. You go to Barry.
And I remember walking down. And outside his thing, it had Leighton.
Leighton, that's his first name, right?
Yeah, Leighton, that was his, and they call him Happy because he was like a bulldog. He looked
I have a picture on the website on the article of him.
Oh yeah,
he looks like a miserable old guy.
Oh, he was.
He was miserable.
So, and I walked through the stores. He was miserable all the time. That's why they call him Happy.
Yeah,
Hap. So I remember going into his office. I remember, and he had a great big desk, something like this.
Smoking a pipe. That's pretty scary for a 16-year-old kid to go in to a guy like that's office.
And what'd you say to him? And smoking, and I remember, you know how a guy smokes a pipe?
Nobody smokes pipes anymore.
No.
Well, when he did.
They vape, but they don't smoke.
They made a funny noise. Pop, pop, pop. And I said, Mr. Ems, I said, or Hap, I forget what I said. I said, if I'm not going to play here, I want to play somewhere. And he says, and he looked at me. I just about faded. He kept looking, staring at me. He said, bring your bag Thursday night. I never forget Thursday night. It was Thursday night. And so I bring my bag, and that's all I had was little, you know. And
You still didn't know what was going to happen.
No, I knew I was going
to
Windsor.
You knew we were going.
So I watched the game. No, I forget we lost. We had a real good club. And or Barry had a real good club. I don't know. And I get on the bus, and I sat there the whole way.
So he made you get on the opposing
team.
No,
I forget me. Imagine those days that.
But he told you, like, so you're with Barry, and then he just said, get on the Windsor bus.
Yeah, get on the, he says, bring your bag. That's what he said. So when a guy says, bring your bag, you know what, you're going to Windsor. So I get off the bus. I never forgot this. I had nowhere to go.
Nice.
I think our coach was Mickey Droulard, and he lived in Detroit. I'm just guessing this. And I'm standing there with my bag, and Jimmy Robertson, thank God for Jimmy Robertson.
Well, didn't you say it was Scove that talked to Scove?
Well, no, so he said, come with me. And I, you know, I was 16 years old, I had a bag, and I'm standing there. So I go with Jimmy, and we had a big double bed, and I sleep with Jimmy that night. And I get up the next morning, and Mrs. Scove, she didn't even know I was there. She had a great big bowl of oatmeal. I'll never forget
Scove, that's a famous referee.
Yeah, the referee, Art Scove, and Glenn Scove was playing for Detroit. And I think there was Elmer Scove
too. There was a Scove, I looked it up. There was a Scove player on the Windsor team.
Well, was there Elmer?
There was Elmer.
Yeah, Elmer.
And I thought it was that. That's no, what no. I wrote.
No, it was Glenn was playing for Detroit, I think, at the time. Mm. And Art was the referee, Art Scove, the very, very right, famous.
Yeah, he was a famous referee. Yep.
Yeah, famous referee. And so what I remember was the big bowl of and Mrs. Scove, and she was from Finland or something.
So we'll do one more hap day story. You got caught looking at the puck.
Oh, one time I was playing for Barry, when we had a real good club. So anyhow, I'll finish this story. Yeah. And so I played for Windsor, and the first time in Barry, I hit everything that moved.
You played with Al Arbor your?
I played with Al Arbor and Windsor. Yeah, wow. Two famous coasters. And so I made them next year, and we won the Memorial Cup. And I played for Barry, and we won the Memorial Cup.
Well, he got you back after that. You played.
Oh yeah, I come back.
Yep.
If I wasn't playing, I had to go and play somewhere, and I went and played.
But tell the story that the next year you go back and you're playing, and you got caught looking at the puck.
Oh yeah, this was and you must remember, in the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, they had a bigger crowd for the junior than they had for the National Hockey League the night before. It was absolutely jammed all the time. And they had a guy on their team called Eric Nestorenko, and boy, was he good! He was a big, tall guy. He was going to be the answer to be like John Beliveau. And he came in on me, and he gave me a deke like you couldn't believe. And he said, and it was in the paper. I'll never forget the first time I was ever in the paper. It says, "Well, a player named Don Cherry played button, who's got the puck?"
Oh, nice!
Nestorenko went in and hit the post. And Hap Ames, the next day, he tied it, honestly, a young kid, I was only 17, he tied a rope, a rope, and he put it around my neck, and I had to go to high school.
Like there was a puck, right?
A puck, with a puck with my neck. And you know what he made me do for the rest of the year? I have a puck in my coat pocket. Don't ever look at the puck.
Really?
I never looked at the puck after that. I had a puck. And to go to school with a puck around your neck with a rope.
You're like, remember that's what they used to do with dogs who were chicken killers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Put a dead chicken around the dog's neck, and then they'd never touch a chicken again.
Oh, so is that right?
He must have learned that from the farm.
Well, I tell you one thing. I never looked at another puck after that. I used to step over the puck. Guy gave me the puck, I'd step over. But anyhow, that's the...
So anyway, we got that jacket that you wore in Windsor.
And I remember that jacket. It was inside out. And now I remember that jacket. It's silver inside, right?
Yeah, it's a lighter color, yeah.
I remember that jacket. I went home. I had purple... No, I had a light green pants on. And it was a zoot suit at the time. And I had
shoes. So this is going home to your parents.
Oh, yeah.
After the season.
And I was... Yeah, so I went home... I had my head shaved at the back, $2, and I had what they call a boogie cut. And now a boogie cut was, you had a brush cut on top, and sides were long. And boy, did I look good. And I had that silver jacket on, I had a light green pants on, I had burgundy shoes on, done up the side, by the way, done up the side. Ooh, oh, yeah.
Man, that sounds pretty sharp.
Oh, did I look good. And I remember dinner, honest to God, this is a true story. My dad says, when you're through, get a haircut.
Oh.
I just paid $2 to
That's
get a haircut.
That's a lot down you those better, days.
$2, I guess it is. And my mother, you know, she didn't like the haircut. It kind of looked goofy, but it looked good.
But that's the style for young with style. The kids. I mean, you're
well
you're
in
the
Windsor,
peak.
Detroit. You know, yeah. You're right across and everybody.
You're talking Kingston now, going home to Kingston.
Yeah,
right?
And he says, get your haircut. Get my haircut, Dad. I said, Dad. I said, I just got my haircut. I had my back of my neck shaved like a duck. They call it ducks. You know, like
a ducktail. Yeah.
And a ducktail. And he says, well, and I said, I'm not getting it done. He says, well, you're eating my food, you're getting it done.
That's right.
So I went down and Got a brush cut and my mother cried.
Well, see, there you go, Dad. We have so many items of yours, and each one of them have a great story. Like, for instance...
Well, that story, that was, and it's purple on the outside, I think.
Yeah, it's right. Like a maroon. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
And you can... It's vintage. Vintage, however you want to think that word is. And another thing, another item we have is the blue light. Remember Spuds McKenzie?
Oh, Spuds McKenzie.
That's another good story. We could go on for all these stories.
Well, yeah,
it's all on the website.
I painted that. Somebody painted. I forget who.
Well,
painted.
It was Spuds McKenzie had these lights, and they were for Labatt's. And Labatt's
it's a bull terrier.
Right, because Spuds McKenzie was a bull terrier that they were using in commercials for Bud Light.
Right.
You
big
know,
time.
I could tell you a story about that if you'd like to hear this story. Yeah. A construction worker was doing the Sky Dome. And it was, I think it was in the bar downtown.
It was at the Peter Street Bar.
Yeah.
On Blue Jay Way.
Right across from Gretzky's.
Right.
Yeah.
All closed now, but that's okay.
And they stole that. The people that the party the guy was at had stole it from the bar.
Because we didn't.
You tell another story, Tim, when this is true, about the Gretzky Bar. So the guy went back the next day and got the thing and gave it to me. A construction worker.
He went back to the party.
He went back where the guy had the party, and he took it, and he says, he gave it back to me. I'll never give
it. And then we screwed it onto the bar.
Yeah.
We didn't just have it sitting there.
So the guy that gave it to me was a construction worker, and he was working on the Sky Dome.
Oh, yeah.
And he fell off the Sky Dome.
No.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
He was killed.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
I remember the guy.
I know.
There's another story.
There's another story.
Yeah. So we've had a few things stolen out of our bars. I remember we had the Grapevine in Collingwood, and going out the door, we had a really big picture of, it was one of the last, it was a picture of Wayne Gretzky and his last game, and he was skating off, and he's kind of waving to the crowd. And he autographed a picture to you, says, "Don, you're the great one, Wayne Gretzky." So we got it blown up, and it was four feet by three feet.
Must have cost you a small fortune.
Well, it did. It was a few.
And framed.
And then we had it framed. So we said, well, we better. So we had about 8 or 9 screws in the wall that were about 6 inches, those really long, 4 inches long screws. And one day we go in, and it's there in the morning, and we have lunch, and there's a lunch crowd and everything like that. And after the lunch crowd, we look, it's gone. Somebody must have come in with an electric screwdriver.
Yeah.
Zing, 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 gone. And it was...
The guy must have kept it for himself, because we...
We did. Well, so we called the police, right? And the police kind of said, we'll do something. Yeah. But then it got into the paper, and it was like Wayne Gretzky kidnapped from Don Cherry's thing, and then we put a reward out.
That's clickbait, right?
Yeah, we put the reward
out. Well, it was kind of...
And we never found it, so somebody still has it.
Somebody's so some man cave has it.
Yeah. Somebody down in the basement has it.
So how about when one of your cutouts got stolen?
Oh, I have to tell you about the cutout in Calgary. That was one of the best. It was a big cutout, of me. Some college students in Calgary got it, and they stole it out of the bar. And they took it to a striptease, all the striptease. And we won't say what the girls had hanging over my shoulder. They took pictures of it.
He took pictures of it, and then about a week later, they found it back in the bar with a photo album. And
they took a taxi. They put it. The cutout in a taxi with the photo.
Yeah, they were
album.
College guys.
Yeah, and it was like Don's night out in Calgary. So you were at all the different strip clubs.
Well, they were great pictures.
And bush parties and stuff like that. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of great stories. I could go on and on.
Well, what else you got?
What else I got? Okay, I remember. I don't know if you remember. You were always big in Detroit with those octopus, and with the tradition of them throwing those poor animals out
story.
On there and all that. So I remember Gary Bettman said, enough with the octopus. So you had one of the stuffed toy named Al, who's named after the Zamboni driver who used to go and collect octopus on the ice and everything. So we have that one that was on Coach's Corner, and we actually have a picture of you.
You're
on
giving all the stuff away than I give you along... but that's okay. That's good for a good cause.
I only live in an 800 square foot apartment, so I only have so much room. So we got.
I think one of the big thing though is that I really like is you have the prospect from Calgary's jacket, which was only given to the coaches, and it's autographed by you and Bobby Orr. And,
yeah, Bobby Orr. Bobby.
And so, like, again, like, that's, you're never going to find that because that's, that was only made for the
coaches.
Have
you got that, Cindy?
Yes, Bobby signed it, and you signed it on the sleeves, very big. It was the 08 prospect game out in Calgary. So that's up for sale, too.
By the way, I have a picture of Bobby and I at Test of Strength, and I remember I had an awful hangover. I always had a hangover, and he's got a cowboy hat, and I've got I should give you that picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, the next one, we have two a year. So
I think
there's
Bobby
always,
signed one of them too.
Yeah. There's always a lot of cool stuff there. And of course, five of your jackets. And what I did was on most of the jackets, I found in Coach's Corner, the Coach's Corner that you wore the jacket on. So if they click on, they can see you on Coach's Corner wearing the jacket.
You did a lot of work, Cindy.
Yes, I did. And John did a lot of work, the owner of the coop.
Yeah.
He entered all the stuff and put it all together. He's not just a pretty face that just threw his name on as a sponsor. He did a lot of the work. And he, when, you know, the auction goes till the 5th, it's a Sunday night, closes at 9. December 5th, and goes till 9 o'clock, so hopefully the bids will come in. So
and don't all the money goes to the...
Don Cherry's Pet Rescue Foundation. We give lots of money away to all the rescue groups out there that, they're having a hard time. You know, it's tough fundraising because of the plague and all that. So, they need money. So this is what we do. We just give the money away.
But I'd like to talk... I know we got a lot of... if you got anything more to...
Well, there's 27 items. I'm sure you don't want me to go through 27 items.
All right. The next show, we'll go 27 items.
Well, okay. We'll do some of them.
We'll do some of them, yeah.
I want to talk about Drake Batherson.
Name, Drake.
Yeah, and Drake... first of all, my hero Drake, Sir Francis Drake. He must have been named after him. What else? And we have another Drake from Buffalo that lives on our street. And I'll talk about him later. But Drake Batherson, he wants all his friends to call him the Schmatzy.
Right, plays for Ottawa.
Plays for Ottawa, and he got two goals and two assists. He was plus three last night.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I was watching the highlights. They didn't even mention him.
Didn't even mention him. he mentioned the rookie.
4 points.
Got 4 points. He got two goals and two assists, and they win the game. And boy, did he ever get a nice backhand, eh?
Yeah, walked in. He looked like Schmatzy going in there.
Yeah, he looked like Schmatzy. He's about 6 foot three. You know, he's a little bigger, Schmatzy. 6 foot three, about 200 some pounds, and he was leading the Ottawa Senators in goals and stuff like that. So I talked about Bobby Schmatz before, but I want to talk about him again. Bobby Schmatz was born in, he's dead now. He died in, he was 76 years old. He died in Arizona. He was born and raised in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. He's just a little guy. 5'9", about 155 pounds. He was drafted by Chicago. Matt, this is unbelievable. I mean, it really is. The story of Bobby Schmatz is unbelievable. 72 and 73. He got 38 goals. He had 137 minutes and penalties. I'd hate to be the guy playing against him. The next year, he got 26 goals, and they traded him. He got 26 goals in 46 games. He was scoring every... I mean, it was unbelievable.
Was that in Chicago?
Yeah. And he couldn't handle him, eh? He was dealt to Boston for Shaky Walton. Shaky still living in Toronto, doing good. Freddie O'Donnell, living in Kingston, and Chris Odelson. I remember all these guys. It was unbelievable that he got. So for 14 playoff games, and he wasn't only a regular season guy, he got 11 goals. 11 goals in 14 games. And for some reason, I got to hurry up here. He had 26 goals his last year in Vancouver. His last year. And he could not get a job with another team. Now, they have guys getting $6 million that got five goals. Well, I think one guy got five goals. He's getting $6 million. He got 26 goals. And Vancouver did not invite him back. 26 goals. And I just thought I'd put that in about Schmatzy again. born in Saskatchewan.
I like the story. We have lots of stories about Bobby Schmatz, but I think one of them was we're playing in Philadelphia, playing in the playoffs, was like those playoffs were brutal. Boy. And so there was some guy, they were hacking and slashing in front of
it was a big schmozzle in front. You couldn't see these two guys.
So Bobby Clark, who wasn't that tall.
No, he wasn't tall.
And Bobby Schmatz, who probably the two smallest guys in the thing, were like they're swinging sticks and
couldn't even see anybody.
So it was Bobby Clark goes, come on, Schmatzy, somebody's going to get hurt out here. And what did Schmatzy say?
Schmatzy says, yeah, right it is. And he says, and it ain't going to be me. And I remember the voice. I knew it was Clark because he... Come on! Somebody's going to get hurt out here, and yeah, getting right.
You know the one thing, Bobby Schmatz. We've talked to him before, but I remember he was racing for an icing, and he got tripped.
Oh boy!
And he broke his heels. Oof. And I remember a fireman talking to you, saying the only time he's seen injuries like that is people jumping out of the windows, like for fires.
Yeah.
And because I forget who he was playing, but it was right at the Zamboni Dorm at the Old Gardens. And the guy tripped him about 4 feet from the boards, and he there's nothing he could do, and he smashed his heels.
You know, the fight icings now, I must get onto the icing. I mean, what they do now, they just fire the puck up the middle. If it's icing, it's icing. And I remember last year I was on Coach's Corner, 21 icings one time in a game, 21 icings. And then I have to say this here again, too. How about the guys throwing the guys out of them in the faceoffs? Yeah. I mean, and they're trying to speed. Everybody in sports is trying to speed up the game, right? And we're doing everything in our power to slow down the game. We got icing. And how about I talked to Bobby. Well, not to drop names or anything, but I talked to Bobby Orr the other day. I said, you imagine how long you'd last if you could stand out in front of the net and wait till both lines change. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Man. Well, it is. It's funny because you look at football and baseball. They're trying looking to speed. They're trying to say, how are they going to speed up the game?
And we're doing everything. And we had these linesmen.
But it's, you know what it is? And the penalties. And for some reason, and I think it was fed by the media, that they think that you speed up by the game by calling more penalties. And, you know, and even it happens, you know, we could quickly talk about, you know, Tortorella saying to McDavid, stop complaining about the penalties.
Yeah, but Tim, they do trip him. Yeah, they trip. They just knock his feet out from under. And you know, I tell you the truth, he's so good that if he cut around the outside, I'd probably trip him too. But they just knock his feet out from under.
So in the old days, they'd have an enforcer to correct that situation.
But Tim, you were going to tell him.
Well, that's what we were saying. Like McDavid, it was, you know, it's a penalty when the Boston Bruin announcers are saying that the Brinkley, Bruins should have got a penalty for tripping McDavid when you know that's a penalty. But you were saying, like we were talking, we say if that was in Gretzky's era,
Smiko and McTavish. I mean, they'd go after these guys.
Well, they'd probably go over and say, do that again,
and you're dead man. Not to get carried away. I remember. Ronnie DeLorme, great guy, Ronnie DeLorme. They were both looking the other way, and he ran into Gretzky by accident. They were coming on the bench after LeDoy, and Ronnie DeLorme says, "I didn't mean to hit him." And Ronnie, he was as scared of nobody.
No, I mean, well, he dropped the gloves with Semenko, and I remember Semenko hit him so hard that his helmet popped straight up, but he kept going.
Oh,
so.
Ronnie DeLorme, you couldn't stop Ronnie DeLorme, boy.
But it's just like, you know, getting on the penalties. You don't want to complain, but some of the games, they're just phantom penalties. And
I cannot believe some of the penalties.
Do you think they have a quota?
I think, yeah, I think
you
they
think
do.
You know, it's like policemen and they're writing tickets.
I often
wonder. Do they
wonder.
Have a quota?
You know, because it's just, and you know what? It's not, the whistle stops and the guy gets a penalty and you're going, for what?
Well, you know, television, they can't tell what it's for.
Yeah, the guy who has the hardest job is the reruns, is the guy that shows the replays on the penalty.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
they're getting a little bit better, but still, though, like.
But what really kills me is the referees dropping the puck the first time. You notice they've always dropped the puck the second time. The first time, and the guy says, "What are you nuts?" Like,
well, I like the way they
slowing the game down.
I like the way they do it in the international. They do it in the international. Yeah, they raise their hand, And meaning if you get thrown out again, then it's a penalty.
Yeah.
And then everybody settles down. So they don't throw the guy out.
And also in international hockey about the icings.
Well, yeah.
If you're around the and yeah, you can get a chance to stop it. I mean, some of the defense, I know what they're doing. They're letting on, they're skating hard, you know, to stop the. And they're not. They're just letting
the. Yeah, but like you watch the Olympic, like when the Olympics go on, like
oh boy.
They if you're anywhere near, yeah,
does it go?
They don't call
if
they,
if you're near and the puck goes by, I'm not. Listen, everybody has a tough time. I'm not knocking the referee. Well, why not? Why? I guess it doesn't matter.
So what? The referee can't say they're not doing a good job. But like you said though, Dad, you think they're getting told.
They're being told, and for instance. The other night, do you know the names of the guys? I should have got the name. Now, Larson.
Oh, in the Vancouver game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was, I think, Braden McNabb for Vegas. He really hammered a Canuck rookie. And then Larson for Vancouver went after him.
Yeah.
And got the extra 2 minutes.
Now, the referees would forget that. They would not... If he stepped in, and you know, a rookie getting hit, and he get hit pretty good, and Larson stepped in, he got the extra two. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
So are you saying that the referees don't know the code nowadays?
No, they know all. They know the code. They know everything.
They know. And they know what's going on.
They know what's going on, and it must be embarrassing, but they're saying, listen, this is my job.
From the high ups.
Well, I don't know who's telling them. Somebody's telling them. Well, I remember one time Chicago's just going wild. Just the crowd in Chicago was jammed. It was just, they were before the game and just going crazy. And I remember I was standing back of a referee, said, this crowd is crazy. Get the crowd out of the game right away. Get the crowd out of the game.
I think that was in the playoffs against St. Louis.
And remember I'm standing back of the ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, get this crowd out of the game. Get the crowd out of the game. The people that pay to get in, he said, get this crowd. And he had a penalty in 10 seconds. 10 seconds! I just shake my head. They're doing everything to slow the game down. And again, every other sport is trying to speed the game up.
Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. It's a Canadian-owned online sport book and casino. And if you sign up today and use the promo code GRAPES, they'll match your deposit up to $250.
Unbelievable.
And you get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And then your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. So, and,
boy, that is really something.
And I'd say, you know, we do, you know, we support Canadian, you know, companies, and they are a Canadian company. And a lot of the things that you see that are .net or .org or something like that, they're not Canadian. So we like to support them, and they were gracious enough to give almost $1,000. Gave $1,000.
What was that again? Now, what did they do? $1,000.
They gave $1,000 to the Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation the other day.
Cindy, you should be happy.
Yeah. Yes, I am. I wrote a thank you.
Yep. So Dad, you made the Toronto Sun the other day. You were on the front page.
Joe Warmington
came over, and so you made the page.
I never
again.
Expected the front page.
No.
That was pretty good. And where's the poppies? And Joe Warmington? I'll tell you one story about Joe Warmington. It's really funny. I think it was in the story anyhow, but I'll tell it anyhow. I remember he was caught in that downtown. Remember when they did the riot downtown?
Yeah, the G7's back.
What?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And he was caught, and the police put everybody in an accordion, and it rained all night. he was trying to tell him he was a reporter. Anyhow, he was out in the night, and he really ripped the police. So I phoned him, and I said, if you ripped the police, and you did in the paper, I said, you ripped me, because the police, I think, are the greatest people in the world, them and the firemen and the army. And so anyhow, I never talked to him for about 4 years, and then he did a great article on the police. But I remember it was about 4 years, we never talked, and Joe... So anyhow, that was I think probably my and then they had another right.
Yeah, it was the next day you're in the paper again.
Yeah, so. Then that's probably my last.
Well,
gasp
till next November. November.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Yeah,
but I won't be as that good as that one. That was front page. Anyhow, Joe was great, and So tell us about, go ahead.
So we were just, you know, one of the big stories was the trade. Jack Eichel went to Vegas. And did you see him, like, when they, when he came to Vegas, they had, like, a big band playing for him.
Yeah.
And they had the show with cheerleaders and stuff. Boy, they
cheerleaders. He thought it was great.
Yeah, no. So he had a...
Well, he's had a tough time, boy.
The Sabres wanted him to get a...
Fusion.
Yeah. And he wanted to get the disc replaced.
It had been done by a basketball or a football player.
Football
before.
Players and even a UFC guy named Chris Weidman, who's a UFC fighter, had it done.
Yeah, no hockey players.
No hockey players. So they were arguing back and forth, and they said, no, we want a fusion. He says, no, I'm not doing it. I want this. And so ended up trading him. So,
well, Kevin Allen's has got $10 million to play with now.
Yeah, and Buffalo's doing pretty good. You know, they Leafs beat them with, what, a minute to go, but they should have won that game. Buffalo should have won that game last night.
Yeah, and that was a good game. I saw that game. That was a good game, too.
Yeah.
But Morgan Riley gets goal and assist.
Did you like what the goalie said when they asked him what he's going to do with the puck?
Yeah, because it was...
Standard statement.
Joseph Woll was the goalie for the Leafs, and it was his first game in the NHL, and he won. So
he said, I'm going to give it to my mom.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
And I was just about to say, we were watching it. I bet she says he's going to give the puck to his mother. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, goalie moms are really put through the ringer.
Well, you know.
But can you imagine Junior A and all that, what she's gone through and all this. So she's earned that puck to see her son play.
I know. Timothy, you were playing. I used to love to go into the games. When Dell was playing, I never enjoyed one game. I remember one guy said, Dell would like to have that goal back. What do you mean by that?
And so what the goalie's mom do, or what the parents do, is they get the puck, and then, well, I guess they do this with a lot, and they put the tape around and they mark it, right? And that's what they do, and they keep it forever, is cherish it. It's great.
Never enjoyed a game, though, when Dell was playing.
No.
Never. I never
sat with the parents.
Even Joseph, like, the score was, what, 5-4? So they were showing... his mom, and she was all excited in the game. Then they pumped two by him. You could see her hands were in her face.
I have to say, I am the biggest Leaf lucky charm of all time. If I'd switched to another unit and come back, and they were losing to Buffalo, eh? I know they're going to score. Bing, bing, bing. Game over. They win. I got to be the luckiest guy in the world for the Leafs.
Yeah. So just get back to Jack Eichel. So he had this disc replacement. And they said he'll be out till probably end of February, beginning of March.
Yeah.
So he hadn't.
He's anxious to play.
Right, but he hasn't played. Like, his last game was February 14th of last year.
Yeah.
So if you were Vegas, would you say, you know what? Like, we're getting right in the middle. Like, this is when it starts getting serious.
Depends on Cindy and Tim. It depends on where we are.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because the reason I'm asking, because you remember what happened with Eric Lindros. He was out for a long time. And then he came back. This was in the playoffs, though. But he came back. But, you know, the hockey's still pretty tough towards the end of the game. And you remember what happened to him. So tell us that story.
So the very first game, I remember the very first game, I said he shouldn't be playing because he was still a little groggy.
Right. He had a concussion. He was out for like 40 games.
A long time.
Or something.
I said, he shouldn't be playing. I said, because. You got a guy like Stevens out there, boy.
And you said that to Ron before.
On Coach's Corner.
Oh, on Coach's Corner.
And he went out, and he got a goal, and he hit the post in overtime. He would have won the game. So I was...
And Ron bugged you on the air.
Oh, yeah. Naturally. So I said, the only way... No, I didn't say it. He said it. Ron McLean.
Because you kept saying, I don't care if you got a goal and assist. He hasn't played. You're in the middle of the playoffs. He's going to get it.
And I said, he's going to get it. I said, he's not sharp, and I said, not with a guy like Stevens out there. Boy, that Stevens, he was the best. He'd be put in prison now the way he used to hit.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, he could hit. Anyhow, it's the only way you're proven right, if Lindros goes down the left side and cuts to the center along their blue line. And it starts the next period. He goes down the left side, he cuts along the blue line, and Stevens is waiting for him the other side. And, well,
game he played for Philly, knocked him.
That was and he hit him, and his helmet went up. Remember, the helmet went up, and he hit his head, and that was the end of it. And you know what? You know, I have to tell you a funny story. I forget his wife. I forget Stevens' wife's name. I think it was Diane. I'm not sure. I should have found this out. So I'm sitting. I used to sit up way up high and watch the warm up, and nobody knew me up there or anything like that. So I saw her sitting way up there, and I said, "What are you doing way up here?" I said, "Doesn't he get you better tickets than this?" She said, "I drove to him. I drove to the arena with him. And I saw the look in his eye." He says, "There's no way I want to be down in the first and second row the way he's got that look in his eye." And she sat up there, and that was the night he hit Lindros.